Hello and welcome to our site on this beautiful Good Friday morning of 2024. Good Friday morning, the day when we remember the crucifixion of Jesus. If you have a Bible with you or on your device, please turn now with me to the Gospel according to Mark, the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 15, and we're going to take a reading from verse 6. Mark chapter 15 and verse 6. Now it was the custom at the feast, that would be the feast of Passover, to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrectionists who had committed murder in the uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. "Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews?" asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do then with the one you call King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they all shouted all the louder, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. The soldiers led Jesus away into the place called the Praetorium, together with a whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Then if you'll just skip down to verse 33. At the sixth hour, darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion, who stood there in front of Jesus, heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." Just so far, and may God bless his word to us on this Good Friday morning. I've entitled our message today, Easter's Amazing Statements. Easter's Amazing Statements. The first one is from the lips of Jesus' herald, John the Baptist. The other three from the lips of Jesus himself. Here's the first one. The place is the River Jordan. Huge numbers have flocked to hear the preaching of John, calling on his hearers to repent of their sins and be baptized in preparation for the coming Messiah. And Jesus comes into view, and John the baptizer, pointing to him on the banks of the Jordan, shouts out this remarkable, prophetic, emphatic statement. Remember, John is breaking the silence of four centuries of prophetic silence in Israel, as he exclaims with all the authority of an Elijah, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. See, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." Abel offered his propitiatory lamb. Abraham was provided with a ram by God, instead of having to sacrifice his son Isaac. Each family in Israel had slaughtered their Passover lamb in Egypt to escape the tenth plague. Thereafter, the Passover lambs were slaughtered every year. And now John the Baptizer is identifying Jesus as the antitype and the fulfillment, a lamb provided by God, a lamb who incarnated God in our humanity, God's lamb, and yet God himself taking on human flesh to bear away the sin of the world. What a remarkable statement. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. One atoning sacrifice that would satisfy the justice of God for a whole universe's guilt forever. A Redeemer for all of the human race. Behold the Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptizer concludes his testimony about Jesus at the Jordan River saying, I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. The next day, John was there again, and he saw Jesus passing by again. And he stopped and pointed again and said again, Behold the Lamb of God! See the Lamb of God! Now fast forward 3.5 years to Easter's next amazing statement in the Gospel of John. The Apostle John, now not John the Baptizer, the Apostle John who writes the Gospel for us that bears his name, John chapter 12 and verse 32, Jesus says, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. What a remarkable statement. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. Take careful note of the context as we look at it in the Gospel according to John, if you would like to turn there with me. In the Gospel according to John, if you'll turn to John chapter 12, John chapter 12, and reading from verse 20. John 12 and verse 20, do you have it there in your Bible? Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. Sir, they said, we would like to see Jesus. Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, said Jesus, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice from heaven came, I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd that was there and heard it said it thundered. Others said, an angel has spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for the judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world, Satan, will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. There's the statement. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men, or all people, to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Just so far in that passage. Jesus says, And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to me. What signaled this particular situation where Jesus said his hour had come? Some Greeks, some Gentiles, who had come to Jerusalem for Passover. They wanted to see Jesus. And why did they approach the Galilean guy from Bethsaida? Well, they approached Philip because he probably looked a bit more like them and where they came from, perhaps, and was perhaps more Gentile-looking than the others. But anyway, Philip told Andrew, and together they told Jesus. Some Greeks are asking to see you, Jesus. The Gentiles seeking Jesus ushered in the hour that Jesus was waiting for, when he would die for the sins of the whole world. Look again at verse 27. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. The voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. And then verse 32. But when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. One of the most remarkable utterances that ever fell from the lips of our Lord Jesus, signifying what death he should die. The crowd that was there heard the thunderous voice from the heavens, from the Heavenly Father, God the Father, saying, I have glorified my name and I will glorify it again. And now they heard this remarkable statement of Jesus about the Messiah, a statement referring to Jesus as the Son of Man, the messianic title that the prophet Daniel had used centuries, many centuries before, being lifted up in order to draw people to himself. They didn't understand, of course, but Jesus knew exactly what he meant. He would glorify his Father by being nailed to a Roman cross and lifted up to endure the mocking taunts of his crucifiers, the racking pain, the ugly wounds, the dripping blood, the parched tongue, the burning throat, the weakness, the agony of every breath, but most of all, the weight of all the sin of the world. But the very cross on which he was suspended between heaven and earth that first Good Friday would bridge the gap between the two, between heaven and earth, and be the very magnet that would draw men and women from every nation to him. It's still happening today, this Easter. The Greeks had arrived and lifted up in hideous crucifixion. Jesus would atone for the sins of Jews and Gentiles once and for all. What an amazing statement. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to me. I trust you've been drawn to him, my friend. So come with me to that cross and hear the Saviour's first and last cries. Two of the most remarkable statements ever. And here we turn to the Gospel of Luke in chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, and reading now from verse 32. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. And when they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified Jesus along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen one. Lifted up on the cross, Jesus prays, Father, forgive them. I mean, let's get real here. Even the hardened soldiers must have been taken aback. Jesus is bloodied and bruised from the flogging ordered by Pilate, the Roman governor. He collapsed exhausted, carrying his cross on the way to Golgotha, Calvary. He was totally compliant in allowing the Roman crucifixion squad to lie him flat on his back on the cross while they drove 8-inch spikes through his wrists into the crossbeam and then crossed his feet, the one on top of the other, on the upright beam and spiked them with excruciating pain, hoisting their impaled victim up They slammed the cross into its socket in the ground. The whole weight of Jesus' body, suspended by the iron spikes, driven through his hands and feet. Spasms of pain shuddering through every part of his body, every nerve a strand of fire, every breath torturous anguish. This was the moment when crucified criminals vented their pain and their rage in shrieks of the most vile, foul, vitriol, and blasphemy. And for the first time in their lives, the soldiers and the crowd hear Jesus praying. When the cross is lifted up, slammed into its socket, Jesus prays, "Father, forgive. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive. For they don't realize what they're doing." They had taken everything Jesus had, but not even the torture of crucifixion could take away his love. Not even the torture of crucifixion could take away his love. His love for you, his love for me. Jesus knew what they didn't know. God loved them. He also knew that when all was said and done, their greatest need was their guilt. The guilt of the Roman soldiers who crucified him, the guilt of the Jews who had cried out before Pilate, "His blood be upon us and upon our children," the guilt of all humanity. Jesus knew what they didn't know. He was bearing the penalty and the punishment for our sin. The African-American spiritual asks the question, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" Yes, we were there, dear friends, represented in that crowd that watched him being crucified. The representatives of all our human race were there, for we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, every single one of us. This is truly one of Easter's remarkable statements. "Father, forgive them." Lord, help people today in Israel, in Gaza, and in Ukraine and Russia and all over the world to know this Jesus who prays for them, because he pays for them. He prays for them while he pays for them, dying on the cross for their sins and ours. God, help people all over the world today to receive that forgiveness and then live all of their lives in the freedom of forgiveness and in gratitude for the cross of Jesus. Forgive us our sins as we are fully and freely forgiving the sins of those who have sinned against us. This is what Jesus teaches us to pray every day. The fourth amazing statement of Easter comes from the lips of Jesus when he has been on the cross for 6 hours. He's about to die now. Summoning his last ounce of energy, he cries out triumphantly, "It is finished. It is finished." This is a greater miracle than God dividing the Red Sea. This is a greater miracle than God providing water from the rock in the wilderness for 2 million people, or flattening the walls of Jericho, or even creation itself. To do that, God only had to speak the word, to accomplish redemption for the sins of mankind, to save us from an eternal hell. God's incarnate Son had to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sins. What a statement in one word in the Greek, tetelestai, "It is finished," meaning the work is complete, the debt has been paid in full. God can now remain just and yet justify the repentant sinner who believes in Jesus. Jesus bore our penalty and he bore our guilt. Friend, religion is always a do, no matter what man-made religion in the world it is. It's always a do. You have to do. You have to do this, do this, do the other. The good news about Christianity is that it's a done. Jesus has done it all, paid it all, accomplished it all, once and forever, by dying on the cross for our sins. That's what we remember today, with gratitude, humility, with praise. Upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, upon his life, upon his death, I stake my whole eternity. What about you, dear friend? Finished. Hear the cry victorious. Love's redeeming deed is done. Now the cross becomes all glorious. Now the wondrous triumph won. Heaven's atoning work completed. In redemption's mighty plan. Powers of darkness flee defeated. Now salvation comes to man. Jesus cried out, "It is finished." The work of redemption for mankind has been completed by Jesus that first Easter. Now all we have to do is respond to the great love of Jesus. I hope that, like Christians around the world today, or perhaps for the first time, you'll respond in these wonderful words of the hymn writer, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, shall have my life, my soul, my all." Jesus died so that, putting our trust in his finished work on the cross that first Easter, we might know the blessing of forgiveness and the gift of everlasting life. This is what Easter means. God so loved the world, so loved you and me, that he gave his one and only Son, so that believing on him we might not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us pray. Father, if we had 1,000 tongues to sing our great Redeemer's praise, that would be inadequate. But how we thank you, praise you, and give you glory today, on this beautiful Good Friday morning, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was raised again the third day, that he is alive forevermore, and that we who believe in him live also. Grant that this Easter, as this good news of the gospel is proclaimed around the world, there may be multitudes who will recognize who Jesus really is, what Jesus has really done, and what he can do for us now, as we put our trust in him, take up our own cross and follow him day by day, living to the glory of the God who loved us, gave himself for us, in Christ our Redeemer. So now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Heavenly Father and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen.
Written on your Dead are raised to life.